Welcome to Destiny Spirit Church. This week's message is by our senior pastor, Donna Astern.
Tonight, I want to talk to you about respect. Yeah, everybody knows the song, right? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. The song about respect. You know, that song was actually written by Otis Redding, complaining about a woman. But Aretha Franklin is the one that made it famous, singing Complain About a Man. And, you know, the truth is that the song was made very famous. It was voted one of the top 500 songs of pop music, you know. And the thing is that it's very popular because it's catchy, but also has a very common thing, that people want respect. And it's something that we're seeing a lot of lack of in a lot of our society these days. It seems that increasingly children are being raised with disrespect. They're being raised to disrespect other people. And in some neighborhoods, if you're disrespectful, you get shot. You know, I mean, this is not good. And yet we're seeing a real cry out where people want respect for themselves. And we're also seeing, you know, a lot of people decrying the lack of respect for authority, the lack of respect for what is considered sacred, all kinds of things like that. And so I want to talk to you. I've been thinking about this for several days, and what often happens to me is when the Lord drops an idea in me to bring to you, usually during that process, I'll have two or three things during the week that just kind of underscore it. And so this week I'm going to get my nails done. Now, I'm sitting there aren't they pretty? I got my nails done. And while I'm sitting there, the guy just starts talking about respect. I mean, he just brought it up. I wasn't bringing it up. And so I'm just like, okay, this is definitely the theme for the week. It's definitely, I mean, when your nail guy's got it, you know, you're like, okay, this is the thing that's for the week. But respect is to show value, consideration, or deference to someone else. It's to show that a person is valued, that they're not just an individual that doesn't matter, but this person has matter. And so I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about respect in various levels. There are signs of respectful behavior. You know, maybe you consider yourself to be a pretty respectful person. You treat people, you know, pretty well, and whether on the job or in your family or at school or wherever you might be. But there are some pretty common signs of what is respectful behavior. One is that I treat people the way I want to be treated. Does that sound like familiar to you? Did Jesus say something about that? About treating people the way that you would like to be treated. So we don't treat people in a way that we wouldn't like, right? That's respect. And also, respectful behavior is to be considerate of other people. To consider, you know, when just because, you know, you're a morning person doesn't mean that everybody in your household's a morning person and maybe wouldn't appreciate your top of the lungs singing at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, or maybe your neighbors wouldn't appreciate that. It's considerate behavior of other people. Respectful behavior is to treat people with civility, courtesy, and dignity, to, you know, just to treat them as a human being worthy of courtesy. You know, it doesn't have to be someone you know. It can be a total stranger. But we just treat them with a dignity because they're a human being, someone that God's created. Respectful behavior also accepts personal differences. Do you know that everybody doesn't see things the way that you do? Y'all discover that, right? All Christians don't see things the way that you and I do. You know, all Christians don't vote the same way that you and I may vote. And right now, we're hearing a lot of criticism, a lot of debate that's going off back and forth in the election process. And there's a lot of disrespectful behavior that's going on. When people launch into name-calling and all this kind of stuff, I mean, that's gone beyond just expressing a difference of opinion. And, you know, when I've heard people be very disrespectful to anyone who didn't have the same opinion that they had of a given thing. And you know what? We want to give people the space to be wrong, right? I mean, well, you can be wrong. That was a joke, y'all. I'm sorry. I wasn't clear. When they don't have the same opinion as I do, they're wrong, right? So, but we could give them the space, you know, and let's think about it. How many of you have ever changed your mind on any given topic, right? I mean, had there been progress that we've all made over the years, even tonight we're talking about how the Lord has changed us. You know, I don't believe everything the same way I did 5 years ago. I don't believe everything the same way I did 2 years ago. I've been going through some processes, and I was even talking to someone earlier this week. And I said, because of what I've been through here this last few years, it's caused me to be a little softer in my opinion towards some other people, you know, because I recognize that my opinions have changed over the years as I've understood more, as I've grown, right, as I've been through some stuff. And so, therefore, I can look at you and say, well, you know what, you're a work in progress, too. You know, you're adapting. I'm a very different person than I was when I was 18 years old. Very different. And, you know, very different in so many ways. And to say, you know what, I'm glad that you're not just stuck me with that 18-year-old label, you know. Let's give each other room to grow and to mature and to learn a few things. And for God to deal with us about some stuff, right? A respectful behavior also means that we work to solve problems without violence. Much as it may be a tendency is just to go, snatch somebody, but to work to solve it without resorting to that. I even saw, the other day I saw a film clip of a woman who had a confrontation with a city employee. And the city employee had confiscated some of, you know, her personal property. And she went and she was, you know, respectful, but she was arguing, I'm within my rights as a citizen and you don't have a statute to lean on for this. And so she reached around the back of the truck and was grabbing her property. And I was watching to see if they were going to come to fisticuffs, you know, because now you took something. And they didn't, but, you know, because that was respectful, you know, they didn't have to get into violence, even though they had very strong difference of opinion, you know. But this one woman, she kept saying, you know, this is my rights, you know, until you can show me something that's written in the city ordinances, I'm taking my property with me. You know, and that is a respectful way to even challenge the woman's misguided authority. Respectful behavior also is to never intentionally ridicule, embarrass, or hurt other people. You know, sometimes, folks, it's not funny. You know, sometimes we've watched people think they're funny by criticizing, embarrassing other people, and it's just really not, you know. And there's a line, it seems, that sometimes can get crossed, right, between what was just good-natured, playful humor and then what became ugly. And so a respectful person is able to recognize where that is and not ever to intentionally hurt or ridicule or embarrass another person. Now, we are taught to treat people with respect. You know what? Babies are not born knowing about respect. As they grow up, small children have to be taught respect. And you and I need to be taught respect, you know, both by our parents and by society, but also included in the scriptures. And let's think about some ways that we demonstrate respect. One thing is, as you may have noticed from watching some of the things on TV, whenever there's a press conference, for example, the other night the president was giving the State of the Union address. I watched it on TV. And when the media is there, they always refer to Mr. President, right? It's a term of respect. They may hate his guts, but he's Mr. President. Now, they get in front of the TV camera when they're just giving a report. They'll talk about George W. or Bush or whatever. But to his face, he is Mr. President, you know. And we do the same thing. You go into a courtroom, it's Your Honor, right? And you don't mess with the judge. I was talking about one of my nephews had gotten a ticket and was going to go fight with the judge. I mean, he wanted to go argue with the cop and fight with the judge. And we're like, you don't do that. Those people have power, and you can be really sorry. You know, you don't mess with the judge, and you don't argue with the cop that pulls you over, because it can go really bad for you. You know, deliberately demonstrate respect. Yes, officer, Yes, Your Honor. Yes, I was. Yes, You're exactly right. You know, and hope to get off with a warning or something, right? And not a serious, hefty fine. We're also, in our society, have you been to a wedding? What happens when the bride enters? The congregation stands. It's in respect, for the bride has arrived, and here are the events coming, right? We also have, we show respect for a lady enters the room. Gentlemen will rise when a lady enters. How about when elderly people are present? You know, when an elderly person comes to the room, children should get up, get their butts up off the couch when grandma comes over, you know. I mean, you know what? Because children have to be taught that. Because you know what they'll do? They'll just lay right there with their feet up on the couch and not even make room for grandma to sit down. You know, that's disrespectful. And also, things like, what about when they have the flag and we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance? There is a respectful stance, right? You stand, you put your hand over your heart, and nobody's supposed to be sitting there or popping gum or playing with their keys or whatever for the Pledge of Allegiance. So there is a respect. Even with the flag, right, there is a code of honor, which how the flag is supposed to be treated. So these things are all things that we are taught by the Word, by society, by our parents. There are some other examples. What about salutes? In the military, you know, they're taught to salute as a sign of respect. I remember one time when we were attending, and it was some type of military function, and I was there, and Sarah was a toddler, and so we were sitting there at the little table, and I mean, it's full dress blues and everything, and I'm for some ceremony, so I'm sitting there right up front there, and I have my little toddler sitting on my lap. The commander walked in, and out of the corner of his eye, he saw somebody seated. He whirled around so fast and looked at me, because everybody else had jumped up and, you know, whole thing. And I was like, and then he saw it was me, not a military person, sitting there with the baby, and he calmed down. But I'm telling you, he was a little bit ticked that here he walked in and somebody dared disrespect him by remaining seated. Have y'all seen that TV commercial about the military guy and he gets a spot on his uniform?
Yeah.
How dare you disrespect me, your mama, and whatever else, you know. It's the same thing. It's the communication of disrespect that needs to be addressed. What about it is when people go into, also with military and many other aspects of society, when the military, they wear their hat, their cap, they walk indoors, the hat comes off, you know. The hat's always off when they're indoors. The hat is off in at the dinner table, whatever. And so it's a sign of respect. When you and I are driving down the road and we see here comes a funeral procession, and they've got their lights, you know, maybe they have an escort from the police. What is common courtesy? What is respect? You pull over and you let them pass, right? And if you are outside and you're standing, then you stand quietly, respectfully. Same thing in a funeral. It's just showing respect for the procession. In some churches and also in the Jewish culture, they stand out of respect when the scriptures are read. When the scriptures are read, the people stand. And I was reading once about an example of in the synagogue, they had at the back wall, they had the Ten Commandments, they had the scriptures out there behind a curtain. And so they would open the curtain, and when they opened the curtain, all the people would stand up for the reading of the word. And then when they finished, they would close the curtain, and then people would sit down. But there was one elderly man there that when the curtain was being closed, it did not close exactly entirely. And he would not sit, and so he remained standing throughout the entire service because he was showing respect for the Word of God. You know, I think some of these things can become bondage and religious, but, you know, on the other hand, there's a reverence that's given that this is not just any old book This is the Word of God. And so there is respect that is given there. We also have respect is shown in our dress for a wedding or for a funeral. You don't show up at a, come on, let's face it, right? You don't show up for a wedding or a funeral wearing whatever you rolled out of bed in that morning, because it is disrespectful. It's more respectful that you have showed up in the attire that the situation calls for, right? Okay. And what about respect for when you're staying in somebody else's home? When you are staying in somebody else's home, do you go in there and rearrange your furniture? Do you walk up there and flip the channel they're watching on TV? No, you don't do that. Do you tell them that's not how you cook that? No, because that's disrespectful, right? When you're a guest, you understand there are some boundaries that are drawn, and so you're going to respect that person's authority within their own home. Do you know that God also treats us with respect? That God does not force His will upon us, but instead He treats us and gives us an option to make choices. He asks questions, He gives us options, but He doesn't force things upon us. So I want to just refer to a number of scriptures. I don't think we're going to turn to very many of these all at all, but I will refer to them. In Romans 13, 7 and 8, it says, "Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." You know, when we know that we have treated a person with all the respect that was due their office, that was due their position, that was due whatever, when we have treated them properly, then we don't owe them anything, you know. I didn't owe, if I have treated the judge with the proper courtesy and said, "Your Honor," I don't owe them anything more than that courtesy that's extended right out, right there, right? Also, the scripture says in Leviticus, yeah, Leviticus 19:32, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed." That means you're going to get off your butt on the couch. That means you stand up when someone with gray hair walks to the room. And it says that you shall honor the aged. You know, a lot of times we've seen in our society a deterioration of respect for the elderly, you know. And the Bible teaches respect for the aged. Now, some of those people who are aged, they're characters. I mean, some of them, they're not very nice people. We know a few people that aren't very nice. But the Bible doesn't say only respect the nice aged. It says to respect the aged. Just because they've lived a while, they're older than you, they're due that kind of respect. You know, it's like, you know, for a long time, especially when I was first starting to pastor, and I would have some people that would come to my church who were old enough to be my parents, you know. And I just had a hard time calling them by their first name. And partly because I've got good Southern roots, you know. But somebody that was, I mean, I was their pastor, but that was, you know, Miss Irene or that was Mr. Bob. I mean, I couldn't just quite get myself to call them by their first name because I thought this person, you know, is my elder, naturally speaking. And so now that I've advanced a few years myself, I don't have near as much trouble with that anymore. But still, I will find myself referring to, you know, Miss Mabel or something just out of courtesy that says, "I do recognize that you are my elder," in naturally speaking, right? The scripture says also that here in Leviticus 19:32, "You shall revere your God." When we are giving respect to those who are older, it also carries that we're giving respect to the Ancient of Days. You know, we recognize that there is supposed to be some accumulated wisdom that comes with gray hair. There's supposed to be you've learned a few things. And even people who aren't very wise or very smart, I mean, they've learned just a few things from living. You know, there are some things you just get by just living, right? Some things we could teach some of the younger people. Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you." And we have seen in our society there's a real need to honor our our parents. You know, and even honoring your parents when they are being dishonorable, when they are not behaving properly. But still, because of your parents, you are alive. Because of your parents, you were fed, you were clothed. You were somehow, even if your parents abandon you, the fact that you exist means that they had something to do with your creation. So therefore, there is an honor that goes to them, even if it's nothing more than, you know, egg donor. Whatever. There is some honor that is due them. But especially, I believe, for those who have nurtured us, those who have clothed us and fed us and raised us. You know, there is an honor that is due to those people. The Bible also speaks that husbands in 1 Peter 3:7 are to show their wives honor. You know, to treat them as the weaker vessel, but to show them, to treat them with respect and courtesy. You know, it does not make a man look stronger and tough when he treats his wife like junk. I've seen a few guys that they thought that it made them look big and bad if they treated their wives like they were just, you know, stupid or imbeciles or worthless. You know what? That doesn't do anything but lessen everybody else's opinion of the guy. Because we think, what a jerk. And what a poor thing married to him. You know, it doesn't work the other way. The Bible also says in Ephesians 5:33 that women are to respect their husbands. And we'll be doing a study coming up here at the end of the month on love and respect, teaching that very thing. Although women need to be respected as well, a man's primary need is to be respected and a woman's primary need is to be loved. And so we have seen that many times when women are not feeling loved, they become extremely disrespectful to their husbands. And we've seen sometimes the tongue gets rather sharp. And disrespect to, not only disrespectful to their husbands, but disrespectful to their children, disrespectful to everybody in their lives. Some women are disrespectful in their tongues and tear people down. And I feel like that even if you are having, you know, a fight or difficulty with your husband or your kids, you got to watch that tongue. You know, there's a way to say a thing, to communicate thing, without it being tearing a person's character down, without assassinating who that they are. The Word says also in 1 Timothy 6:2 that believers are to treat their masters or treat their bosses with respect, not to be disrespectful to them, even if they are still going to the same church. That's Donna's paraphrase. Because, you know, sometimes it happens that we have people that they go into business together, they start working together, and because of their relationship in the church, they go outside the church and decide, well, they can just treat each other any old way. You know what? They may be your brother and sister in the Lord, but outside, that's still your mother, that's still your father, that's still your boss, that's still your employee, whatever it is. We need to respect those relationships that, however they're set up in our lives as well. And just so that we understand this, disrespect is grounds for getting fired. Disrespect is grounds for getting fired. How many of you ever seen somebody get fired just because they were disrespectful? They mouthed off. They didn't give the proper, you know, behavior on the job, and they may have been capable in their work and what they were doing, but just disrespect will get them fired. And I want to encourage you who are in authority, whether you are a parent or whether you are a boss, not to tolerate disrespect. Don't tolerate it. You can give somebody a warning. Obviously, you got to give your children warnings, right, about disrespect. Give somebody a warning about it, but you know what? Don't let them get away with it. Because disrespect, you've heard the expression, familiarity breeds contempt. That's exactly what it is. And when you allow your children to disrespect you or your employees or whatever to disrespect you, then you're giving them a message about, this is how you can treat me. This is how you can treat me. And it will give license for them to make worse treatment and also influence others around them. And in your workplace, it'll destroy your authority. It'll destroy. And in the home, it will destroy your authority. I've heard some kids, and I've heard some church members talk to pastors. I thought, ain't no way I'd let anybody talk to me that way. And, you know, and I've heard some children that I thought, somebody needs to spank that kid's butt because he does not need to be talking to his mother like that. I'm sorry, but there's serious trouble, because you know what? If children aren't learning respect at home and they're not learning it at school, where are they going to learn it? What's going to happen? You know, how many times have we seen this is a person who gets in trouble with the law? This is a person who gets in trouble with authority everywhere that they go. They open themselves up to Jezebel spirits. They wind up becoming trouble at church and every place because they never learned proper respect at home and in their lives. The Bible also says that we need to earn the respect of outsiders. You know, sometimes people think, well, I should just be respected just because I live and breathe, you know. Well, as far as God's concerned, yes, as a child of God, you need to be respected. But you know what? We need to give people a reason to respect us. Have you ever lost respect for somebody? What happened? There was somebody that you once respected, but what did they do? Their behavior somehow changed your opinion. You know, they did something that just really disappointed you, that really wasn't right, and so you just lost all respect for them after that. And you may have still had to work for this person, or may have been a teacher or whatever. You may have still had to be there and do the thing, but there was a place in your heart that was not going to be the same anymore. And so we need to earn the respect of outsiders. And so the Bible encourages us to live in such a way that we'll bring no reproach, so that when anybody comes, you know, gives report about us, then they've got good things to say. You know, it's happened to me in times past where just, you know, living your life, just conducting yourself as a child of God and, you know, not just living your life, you know. I have been accused of all kinds of crazy things, but I've also been defended by almost strangers, by people that just made an observation and assessed my character and said, you're not telling the truth about that woman. Isn't that wild? You know what? There's something they had seen of my character that they knew that this person was lying about me. And so we want to live in a way to where people can point to us and say, oh, that's a good woman, that's a good man, that's somebody who is a person of integrity, that's a person of character, all right? And that's a person who is respectful of other people. The Bible says to neither pay back evil for evil to anyone, to respect what's right in the sight of all men. Some other scriptures here. When it comes to spiritual leaders, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13 that we are to appreciate those who labor in the Word of God and have charge over us in the Lord and give us instruction, that we esteem them highly in love. There is an appreciation because of the work that's being done of the ministry, and to esteem them highly in love. Now, you know what? There are some times you're not going to like everything I say or do. I've ticked off most of you at some point, okay? That's why I laugh when y'all tell me these things, because it's just the way it is. But the thing is that even when we're having a conflict or difficulty, we still want to respect for the work that's being done, for the gospel that's being preached, you know, for the responsibility that the person holds in our lives, and to treat them with respect. Now, if you get to the point to where you cannot respect your leaders anymore, you need to go somewhere else where you can. I mean, I just really feel that way. You know, I feel like if you can't, you don't have to agree 100% on every little thing that goes on, but if you get to where you can't respect that leader anymore, you need to go somewhere else, you know. Because you're gonna have a challenge inside of your heart every time that you're trying to receive from. You know, it's hard to receive from somebody you don't respect. You know, when they're trying to tell you, well, thus saith the Lord, or the Bible says, and you don't respect them, that's gonna be real hard for you to receive. And you're liable to cause division, so you might as well just move on down the road and go somewhere else. Okay. The Bible also tells us in 1 Timothy 5:17-19. The elders who rule well are worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. So there's also, respect also means that we're not running around and we're not mouthing off at authority. You don't mouth off at your mom. You don't mouth off at your dad. You don't mouth off at your boss. And you don't mouth off at spiritual leaders. You know, there's a Bible, there's a place the Bible says to rebuke not an elder. There are some churches where they think it's okay to just mouth off and just say whatever. And I'm looking for lightning to strike when that happens. Because it's like, you know, the Bible's just real clear about we don't go there. It's the same thing. You honor your mother and father, even though they may really make you mad sometime, really upset you, but we're still going to honor and treat them with respect, just as we do with spiritual authority as well. Now, some people, in looking at the subject of respect, and they'll say, well, you know, I am well respected, but actually, instead of being respected, what they are is feared. There are some parents who rule this way, some bosses and some pastors who rule this way, that they've got people afraid to cross them, afraid to say or do anything, and they call it respect. No, it's not, because fear is toxic, you know? Respect is voluntary. Fear is involuntary. You know, when somebody is trying to control through fear and trying to make you feel a, you know, certain thing, that's not respect. That's something being coerced out of you. When we are respected, we don't have to resort to manipulation, right? Okay. You can fear somebody and not respect them, but you can also treat someone respectfully while you don't respect them, right? I've had bosses before that I treated them with respect. Yes, Mr. Smith. Blah, blah, whatever, but didn't respect them at all because the character was just terrible. But I could still treat them in a way because they were my employer, treat them in a proper way, right? Let's turn to Romans 14. The purpose of every Christian is to respect every other Christian. It's up to us to not only just respect authorities over us or respect those that God has brought into our life, to teach us, to train us, to correct us, but also we are to respect one another. You know that, as I was saying a few moments ago, we have all been growing in our understanding of the Scripture, understanding of God's will, of different things, and we're not the same people that we were 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We've all changed since then. Some of our opinions are maybe a little broader now. Maybe we have relaxed a little bit in some areas as our understanding has grown and we've become a little more tolerant of other people. You know, we want to extend to other people that respect and that courtesy that it's okay for them to be where they are right now and let them grow. You know, you don't expect somebody who's been born again, you know, 2 weeks, to have the same character of somebody who's been born again for 10 years. You shouldn't expect that same sort of thing out of them. And somebody who's been born again 10 years is going to have one level of understanding that somebody who has been maturing in the Lord for 30 years is going to have a different understanding. So we understand we're all in a process. And so we can respect wherever you are. It's the same thing as like we watch children when they're growing up. You know, when children are just learning to walk, that's wonderful because that's where they are. If they're 15 and they're just now learning to walk, we got a problem, right? And it's okay when they're first stumbling and making mistakes. It's okay because they're learning, they're growing, it's going to be all right. And we want to have that same type of tolerance towards other believers as they work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, there is a place for us to exhort and provoke and correct. But we want to give people some space, you know, let them grow. And it's been said here tonight, a couple of y'all said it, that if we will sit under the ministry of the Word of God and the counseling, the prayer, the prophetic things, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, if we will sit under that, it will grow us up if we will apply it. There's been plenty of times I've sat in there and the pastor was preaching one message, Holy Spirit's given me another message. Zero of my name all over it, putting his fingers all over my stuff while the pastor is talking about this other thing. Because, see, Holy Spirit knows how to take everything that's going on and apply it to each one of us, right? So as we're going to give people room to grow and to mature. And if there, if needs be, I mean, there's been times people have called me to one side and says, Donna, I got to tell you the truth. I'm like, oh, great. You know, one of those fun conversations, you know. But sometimes there is a need for us to step in and to adjust and correct. But even so, we're going to do so with respect and with humility. And as the Bible tells us, because we understand that we ourselves have also been tempted. We've also made some mistakes, all right? We want to let people respect that everybody has a conscience. You know, all believers have a conscience. Holy Spirit's dealing with people, right? And right here in the book of Romans 14, there's a problem here because they've got conflicts over whether it's okay to eat food that's been sacrificed to idols or not. And Paul is given some instruction about this. This has to do with a matter of conscience. Romans 14:1. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. You know, Paul said that the people who were strong in faith could eat that which was sacrificed to idols, but the ones who were weak had major problems with it. You know, we have some similar things that are going on in the body of Christ right now, where there are certain things that one Christian will allow and another Christian will disallow, and they both want to get in a fight with the other person about it. And Paul says these things need to be a matter of opinion, of as you're being led by your own conscience. You know, sometimes people have come and asked me for counsel, for advice, and sometimes my advice to them has been, you have to obey your conscience. I'm not going to tell you to go against your conscience. You know, if you're really convicted that a certain thing is wrong, then you don't need to do it. You know, don't go against your conscience. You're not going to get in trouble, you know, giving people that kind of counsel and letting the Spirit of God deal with them and bring them up to the next place. You know, we don't want to try to override people's conscience where it says, you know, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't do that. If you knew what I knew about this and that and the other, you wouldn't do that. You know, if their conscience has allowed them, then let's leave it alone. You know, we can preach the word, but we don't want to take the place of being the Holy Spirit. There are some specific ways we can show respect to people. One thing is by not interrupting them when they're talking. Do you know that I've seen husbands and wives that they are so bad about interrupting each other? Do you know what happens when you interrupt another person? It says, shut up, what I have to say is more important. That's what it means. Now, sometimes people are disrespectful because they don't know how to be quiet. And so they monopolize conversation. So that's the other side of it. And sometimes the interrupter feels like this is the only way I'm going to get a word in edgewise, is if I just jump in. But do you know that interrupting somebody means you're not listening? It's disrespectful to them. And so there have been times that I've listened to a person and listened to a person's complaint, and sometimes I'm like, okay, when are you going to be done? I mean, I don't say that to them. I'm thinking this inside my head. But I remember this one time, this woman wanted to talk, and I said, okay. So I let her talk. Hour and a half later, yeah, I was like, okay. Well, as I understand it, and as I started to talk, she interrupted me, and I says, no, I gave you an hour and a half. You asked for my input. I'm going to give you my input now. And I would not let her interrupt me like that. It was like, hey, that's what we're doing here. You know, and when you have listened to a person fully give their statement, their condition, where they're at, then when they have finished, then you can say, well, then, as I understand it, this is what you've said. It shows respect that you got their position, not that you cut them off halfway because you already figured out where they were going. You see, that's disrespectful because we don't know what they're going to say until they say it, right? So another way we can show respect is to try to understand them and where they're at instead of criticizing them. Avoid telling them what to do. Avoid giving them, telling them, well, you need to do this and you should do that. And giving them all kinds of lectures and sermons and advice they didn't ask for. This is how to be a nuisance, is to give people all kinds of advice they hadn't asked for. You know, I decided a while back that it was not my, you know, job description was to, you know, control everybody's life, run the world. And I let, you know, I've seen some people, I wouldn't do things that way. That's not what I think, but you know what? They got their own conscience to deal with, and just let them deal with it. And I remember that I don't particularly like getting lectured. I don't particularly like having somebody tell me what, give me unwanted advice. So I've gotten to where I'm not giving so much unwanted advice anymore, you know. If people ask me, I'll tell you. But I don't, you know, need to necessarily just go and do all that stuff. Let's look at verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Chapter 15:1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. You know, we don't need to just voice all kinds of disrespectful opinions about everybody and what their decisions they have made, what choices they have made in their lives, you know. To their own master they stand or fall. We don't need to just treat people with contempt. The word is also pretty clear about that we need to respect the Lord's commands and places of worship. There's a place in Malachi 1 where the Lord says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I'm a father, then where is my honor? If I'm a master, then where is my respect? You know, and the Lord is looking for honor and respect from us. If he is the Lord, then he is worthy of respect. Even more so than any respect that we have for any human authority. But the Lord has given us commands in Scripture. He said in Leviticus 26:2, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, for I am the Lord. You shall keep my Sabbaths. Do you know that we keep the Sabbath out of respect for the Lord? It's out of respect. It's not just, well, I don't feel like doing it or I've got too much work to do, but out of respect for his commands, we keep it. There's reverence for his sanctuary. You know, even in the New Testament, in 1 Timothy 3, Paul writes Timothy and he says that you need to give instruction to people that may know how to conduct themselves in the household of God. That people need to be instructed in what is respectful behavior when we worship. What is respectful, right? We've had, you know, over the years, sometimes we've had people come to some services and they've never ever been to any kind of a church meeting before. They don't know what the protocol is. They don't know. And so we've had some strange things. I mean, you know how it is when you come to church. You know, there's a time for you to do this and time to do that. But if you're new to the whole thing, you don't know all that stuff, right? It's kind of like the courtesy that you go to the movie theaters, right? You're supposed to go in. Everybody's supposed to be quiet when the movie starts, right? You're not supposed to get up and walk around and talk on your cell phone, all that stuff, when the movie's on. That's a certain accepted behavior that is respectful of everybody else who has paid $7 to watch the movie, right? Or whatever it is now. And so there is a behavior that is appropriate for us in the Lord's places of worship. You know, sometimes in the New Testament and in modern church, we get a little bit forgetful about respecting the Lord's commands and respecting his presence. You know, when the Holy Spirit is moving, when somebody's prophesying, what is respectful behavior, folks? Listening, isn't it? It's not, you know, running to the bathroom. It's not flipping through the bulletin. It's respectful behavior is respecting what Holy Spirit is doing at that moment, you know. I have just been so grieved sometimes over the years when Spirit of God was moving and there's a bunch of people just screwing around, just whatever, playing, cutting up, and missing what God was doing. And I watched the anointing of God disappear because of disrespect, when people did not respect what the Spirit of God was doing. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:30 to grieve not the Holy Spirit. How does a person grieve the Holy Spirit? By behaving in an ungodly fashion. Ungodly behavior grieves Him. But also the Bible tells us, 1 Thessalonians, to quench not the Spirit, which means don't put out the fire. Quench not the Spirit. How do you quench the Spirit? That's when you're a wet blanket on what He's wanting to do. That's when He's got expression. He was wanting to move. He was trying to do something, but there was a wet blanket because there was people that, you know, didn't worship, didn't pray, decide, I don't need to do that, whatever, and quenched the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You know, folks, I get worried if we get into a habit of disrespecting and quenching the Spirit of God. Why should He come? Why should He come do anything? Why should He show up and heal? Why should He show up in His power and glory if He's not going to be respected? Right? Why should He? And I have seen, you know, sometimes, you know, I've seen the Spirit of God is really dealing with people's hearts, and people are starting to really be touched, and you can tell. And then somebody goes off and does something just crazy and just kills it. And it's like, what was that about? You know, there's a time to be funny. Y'all know we laugh a lot, but everything's not funny. Sometimes humor is disrespectful, right? It's okay to have fun, have a good time, but sometimes it's disrespectful. So we need to be able to discern what the Spirit of God is doing and to cooperate with that. You know, Jesus said that if anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. As we're going to seek to honor and respect the Lord, you know what? The Lord will have respect towards us. He'll respect. How would you like God to listen and pay attention and respect you? You know, to treat your desires as important, right? To treat the things precious to your heart as having value. That's respect, right? How about the things that you have prayed and you've asked God to do? We want Him to show respect towards our requests. We don't want Him to just blow them off and say, that's no big deal, right? We want our requests to be respected by Him. Guess what, folks? Let's reciprocate. Let's respect and honor Him. You know, we set aside a time to worship Him and to praise Him. Let's show Him the respect. You know, I wonder, you know, if Mr. Bush walked in the door, people would stand to their feet, wouldn't they? If Mr. Bush walked in the door, Mr. President, people would speak courteously and respectfully. They would make their children be quiet while the president was in the room, wouldn't they? Because you'd know that's the proper behavior. Isn't that true? What is it that happens when the Spirit of God comes? How is it that sometimes we become too familiar, too casual with the Spirit of God when He's wanting to really move, and we allow all kinds of things to happen that shouldn't happen? Now, I'm not rebuking anybody. I'm just saying, let's look at our hearts about this. You know, we have seen God do so many wonderful things, and I'm wanting to see outstanding miracles. I'm wanting to see lives transformed in miraculous, powerful ways. But some of these things are going to happen when the Holy Spirit is reverenced. When He is reverenced. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name. Father God, I ask You, Lord, to make us a more respectful people, that we will show the respect to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, as human beings, as parents, as children, as leaders, as employers, as employees, that God will treat one another with the respect that they deserve. And Father, also that we will stand our ground with our children, stand our ground with our employees, that we'll stand our ground with other people, that we will hold our heads up, that we are also worthy to be treated with respect, and that we will develop that healthy self-respect to where we're taking care of our business and we're treating ourselves with courtesy and with value. But Father, I also ask that you do a work within us, that we would recognize when you are moving in our lives, that we'll be quick to respond respectfully when we sense and we become aware that you're speaking something, that you're doing something, that you're initiating something, that, Lord God, that we are responsive, that we're cooperative, and that also, Lord God, that we have respect towards your commands, that, Father, it's because out of reverence for you and for your word, we take the Sabbath. It's reverence for you and your word that we do what the Scripture says. And I ask you, Lord God, that by the Spirit of God, that you would make us sensitive to the little places where we have inadvertently, accidentally, we didn't know it, we were rude, we were disrespectful to one another, husbands and wives, parents and children. I ask you, Lord God, that you would alert us to those places that need to be tweaked. Holy Spirit, convict our conscience so that we can be changed. Lord, I'm so thankful that you love us enough to adjust us and correct us. And that, Lord, that you're not dismissing us, you're not firing us for our disrespect, but, Lord, instead you're giving us another chance. And you're teaching us and you're instructing us how we should behave. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have had respect for our prayers. We thank you, Lord God, that you have treated us with such courtesy and such dignity. Even the times we have beat up on ourselves and kicked ourselves, you have been the one to lift us up. You have been the one to pull us up and to treat us in ways that we didn't think we even deserved. So, Father, we thank you. It's like the prodigal son's father, that you have come and you have embraced us even in our mess. And you've called us back to yourself. Father, I also pray that you would give us the wisdom when we are dealing with people who are behaving disrespectfully, whether it's bosses or parents or children or coworkers, that you would give us the wisdom, Lord, that we can be a bright light in a dark place, and where we have the authority and the grace that we can bring the correction and adjustment as needed. Father, thank you. Thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. And we thank you, Lord God, for the value and the courtesy that you have treated us with. Holy Spirit, forgive us for grieving you. Forgive us for quenching you. And help us not to do that anymore. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Destiny Spirit Church or additional teaching CDs or training events, please visit our website at www.destinyspirit.com, or you can write to us at Destiny Spirit Church, P.O. Box 15252, Chesapeake, Virginia 23328. Thank you.